T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
People, look alive! It's showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM. The Fan. Will still call it a Football Friday, brought to you by your local Pick and Save stores or Wisconsin Saves on Groceries. We've got the Badgers and Michigan State to talk about. We'll do that with Ben Wargle coming up, 7:20. Packers Lions, big one, coming up on Monday night. So much more on Monday and a lot today, too. Ryan Wood will join us at 8:20, our Green and Gold Insider. We'll do our six-pack of picks today to give you some winning picks for the weekend. So a lot of football to come. Frings.
I have taken your advice. You know what I'm doing this weekend? I'm not getting off the couch.
Attaboy.
I'm having one of your type of weekends.
Attaboy.
It's going to start tonight. Roll right into the Red River Shootout at 11.
Yep.
Oklahoma and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever other game I might be switching around to, because they're everywhere. And
I think you got a nice triple header. You can go Wisconsin at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
Florida LSU at night.
Yeah. I think Alabama, Texas A&M is somewhere in there, but I mean Alabama's going to destroy them.
That game will be on The Fan.
I have not, yes.
So you absolutely can watch the other games and listen to
and have them on the radio. Yeah.
Alabama, Texas A&M on The Fan on Saturday. Yes. We've got some live football for you this weekend.
It hasn't been a day when I've just sat in front of the TV and hung out in college football. I told my household, told Shannon, I said, boy, I just want to just do nothing this weekend. I feel like every weekend going out, going to see REO, covering games, going here, there. Just want to relax this weekend. And so I am going to be like you and just hang out.
You won't regret it.
I probably won't. I'll probably be as refreshed on Monday as I've ever been.
Make sure to get some gray sweatpants, though.
Yeah?
Gray sweatpants.
I got plenty of sweatpants. So why the gray ones?
I don't trust the man that doesn't wear gray sweatpants during the weekend. I don't know why they got to be gray. It's just kind of a personal preference. Bart, do you wear gray sweatpants all weekend long?
Well, I've got 3 in the rotation.
Okay,
that's kind of like old school. Great, because when sweatpants first came out, they were gray.
Yeah, I've got the Adidas gray. They're my number one.
Yeah?
I've still got an old pair of Adidas soccer black ones.
Okay.
They're kind of like my number 3. And then I've got some really nice Warrior sweatpants, but they're probably the most comfy, but the leg is too long. Like the leg, if I'm walking with my son, I'm going to trip and... That's going to be bad.
And it's going to get awful wet if it's raining outside.
Yeah.
I have black. I black. Adidas, Nike, and then another Adidas.
Yeah, okay. But yours are more like athletic pants. We're talking about sweatpants.
No, well, you're right. I mean, those type where you got to tie them up at the waist? Those?
No, like the gray typical sweatpants.
Okay. Well, these are sweatpants, kind of. But I got
Let me get a look at you.
They're like wind pants, track pants. We used to call those back in the day.
Yeah, those are track pants.
Are they?
When I was a kid, when I was like up until I was like 17, I wouldn't wear sweatpants because I thought of them as like old man pants. So I'd wear the Adidas ones or the Nike like track pants. The way I do it now, though, is my gray Nikes, those are like the Tom Brady of my pants. The blue Nike sweatpants I have, those are the Jimmy Garoppolo's. And then the like track pants that I have, those are the Jacoby Brissett's.
Well, like on Saturday, like if you get about a Saturday morning and you're not, I'm not putting blue jeans on in the fall or the winter, you'll put sweats on. Who puts on blue jeans anymore if you're a guy? Put sweats on and watch sports all day.
I'm trying to figure out, so Horvat, like last night, let me go behind the curtain, okay?
Uh-oh.
Horvat last night sends this email and all these things to talk about, like is Stafford versus Rodgers and all this stuff. And then as soon as we start the show, he's just dying to talk about his sweatpant rotation.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the beauty of our show.
Who's the Jacoby Brissett of your sweatpants? 799-1250.
No, I mean, you got to have a good pair of sweats. You do have to have at least 3 in the rotation.
My plan is to preview this football weekend and all the way up into Tuesday when, because we got the Packers-Lions coming up on Monday Night Football. But we got the Badgers in action against Michigan State. Then we got a full slate of games. We could watch the other teams in the NFC North. But to prepare, you need a good pair of sweatpants and you need a good food spread for the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Eat pizza or something. Or chips and salsa at my house. But I'm thinking, I thought almost about going to check out the Iowa Sports Casino that just opened up. It's like 2.5 hour drive from here, but it's like, I don't feel like driving.
I'll save you a trip, buddy.
You going?
No. I got a guy you could text.
Oh, no. But
he'll take care of that for you.
No, I just wanted to go. No, just for the sake of going.
I know what you mean. Yeah, watch the game at the sports book.
I've never been on a sports book before.
I listen to 670 The Score, our sister station all the time in Chicago. They do a lot of advertising right now for the casinos. There's the one in Hammond, Indiana, too.
Yeah. Yeah, just I don't want to go through some Chicago traffic.
True, but I heard that sports book is amazing.
Well, I heard the one in Iowa too. Same thing. One in Iowa is.
Let's try to do a show from there. Are they open at 6 a.m.?
I don't know.
Do they have like bank hours
in like Vegas?
They have like long hours. I saw the Saturday hours. They're like 11 a.m. till or 10 a.m. till 11 p.m. at night.
Usually 2 hours before kick.
Yeah.
That I would know.
But I mean, like the guy. I just because I've never been. I mean, we've all been in games before, you know, one form or another, but I've never been in a sports book. So I want to see what
this
was like.
Not even in Vegas? You've never been to Vegas?
Well, you know I've never been to Vegas.
Right, wow.
I've never been to Vegas. So these sports casinos are moving in on us. You know, Wisconsin, we'll get one by, you know, 2042. And I'm not so sure that's a bad thing of us waiting as long as possible to having to go down to Pato to place a bet on a game. So I'll probably never leave that place. So it's a good thing that I get, you know, Iowa or Indiana.
If the Packers win the Super Bowl, I'm taking both of you guys to Vegas. That's my vow. Because I have a lot of futures on the Packers winning the Super Bowl that would make me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If the Nationals go to the World Series, maybe we go to Vegas. We plan out a weekend. We got to do it. I don't want to miss work. I hate missing work. So what me and my buddies do is we'll leave Friday. Like, we'll all get off work, leave Friday, come back on Sunday night. And that's all you need. Like 24 to 48 hours. I've done a full week in Vegas. Nobody on this planet needs to do a full week in Las Vegas.
No, Tim Allen will sometimes go for multiple days with Schmitty, and they'll spend a lot, extended amount of time there, and even they say it's just too much.
Too much.
All right, I will agree to those terms if you also give me a daily stipend to gamble with so that I don't have to gamble with my own money.
I'll give you $25. Okay. Well, the good thing about Vegas is, I mean, we all like to, well, you love to drink, Bart. Me and Chuck like to drink.
Aw.
So if you're playing at the table,
I cooled it off a little bit, though, Bart.
Free booze throughout the trip.
Yeah, I haven't had a drink since Saturday night.
I know, and I like that. Keep it going.
I have actually probably drank more than you this week because it's my birthday, and then yesterday was my wife's birthday, so we drank a bottle of wine. My mother-in-law's in town for the weekend, and then my mother comes tomorrow on Saturday.
Oh.
So it's like mom's weekend back in the college days.
You know, the worst part about mother-in-laws is well, my ex-mother-in-law one time said she was coming for the holidays, Christmas to New Year's, and the worst part about it is she came at New Year's and stayed to Christmas. How about that?
That's as funny as it was the first time you told that joke.
What's that?
I said that's as funny as it was the first time I heard you tell it.
I don't think I ever told it with Horvy around, so it's fresh. No, it's fresh to Horvy.
That's true. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. I'm Bart Winkler. It's a good joke. It is a good joke. Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath as well. We're going to hear from Pete Doherty coming up in a few minutes to talk Green Bay Packers and really start to look at this game and where this team is as a whole. We'll also get an update from Davante Adams himself in about 20 minutes or so talking about that turf toe. Davante talked to the media yesterday. He was a little different from Davante.
Yeah, Davante. I was reading it. And he's talking about this being a major injury, and I'm like, what? What else happened to him? Oh, it's his toe he's talking about.
He really wants to make people know that he would play if he could.
Yeah,
and he's been tough before, but he would play if he could. So we'll hear Davante with that plea coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on The Fan. Some games last night, just to catch everybody up. The Houston Astros are going to the ALCS. They beat the Rays, so no storybook run in baseball at this point, unless you look, I mean, you could count the Nationals possibly, but the Astros beat the Rays 6-1, so it's going to be Astros, Yankees, and then Cardinals, Nationals, and for a lot of people, it's like, which of those four teams are you rooting to win the World Series?
Yeah, I don't have a rooting interest in any of them, really. I mean, do you root for Washington finally to break the door down?
No, because
I mean,
they beat you.
But they
beat the Brewers.
But the big series is the Yankees and Astros. You got the two powerhouses. And that pitching staff, I mean, you look at the pitching staff that the Astros have with the front three guys in the order. With you only got Gerrit Cole going in game 3 and 6 and Verlander, you know, somewhere in the mix there. I mean, how do you beat that team? With Greinke too? How can you beat the Astros?
Well, even Greinke blew up the other day.
Yeah, but you don't see that often.
But the Astros have so much pitching that when you get to this pivotal game 5, the Rays bullpened it.
Mm-hmm.
They use 9 pitchers. And then the Astros, Gerrit Cole went 8 innings and struck out 10.
I know. But that would have been the Brewers. They would have been bullpenning it through 8 or 9 guys.
And it can work, but when you go against a Gerrit Cole, I mean, you're screwed.
If the Brewers were to advance to the World Series, okay, let's say they would have got to the World Series, you would have had to face, I think the Astros are going to win this series against the Yanks. You'd have to face Gerrit Cole, Verlander, and Greinke nearly every day.
Yeah, and you'd be starting Junior Guerra for inning in a third.
I mean, how do you...
Against them.
How do you beat that team? And again, anything can happen, but how do you beat a team with a... But you got 3 guys making a ton of money in that... Gerrit Cole's not as much as the other two, but Cole's going to get his payday. But do the Astros even need to re-sign Gerrit Cole in that rotation?
Maybe not. Maybe Gerrit Cole to them is a luxury at this point.
Although Greinke, yeah, I mean, his days will be coming to an end soon.
Now, Gerrit Cole's going to make a lot of money, as you said. And I'm curious outside of this job, of course. I'm curious in both series. I'm curious because the Yankees and Astros are 2 heavyweights. I want to watch them battle each other. Mm-hmm. And then the Nationals and Cardinals, I enjoy hate watching sports sometimes.
Well, I'm still wrapping my head around the Astros, even though they've been there for a while, that they're an American League team. Because throughout my life, they've been a National League team. It's like the Yankees and Astros. This almost sounds like a World Series.
Yeah.
But, the American League team. I hate watching the Cardinals is a good way to put it. I definitely don't want them in.
Thursday Night Football last night, the Patriots beat the Giants 35-14. This was all about the Patriots defense last night. They had 2 touchdowns. Josh Gordon got hurt in this game pretty badly, and I bring that up because I have a lot of fantasy teams where he is on them, and so that's not good. But Tom Brady rushed in for a couple touchdowns, and the Patriots win 35-14. Patriots, they're 6-0, so we all put them on our power rankings in week 1. But let me, and then week 2, 3, 4, 5 this week, let me just remind you of their schedule. They beat up on the Steelers. Then they shut out the Dolphins. Then they beat up on the Jets. Then they beat the Bills on the road, which is probably their best win so far. They beat Washington. And then they beat the Giants. So they're 6-0, and you can only play who's in front of you. Their upcoming schedule, they've got the Jets again. And then the Browns, we'll see. Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys. So it starts to get a little tougher, but they are 6-0. But just look more into that 6-0 before we crown them Super Bowl champs
again. Well, I mean, you could do this every year with the Patriots because they play in such a bad division. They're so much better than everybody else in that division. So those are automatic wins for the most part. I mean, they might stub their toe occasionally against somebody else, but they should go unbeaten against their division, and you take care of a couple of other games, and you got 12 wins. You got 12 wins, and you're going to the postseason as a 2 or a 1 seed. And then what happens? They get to the divisional playoffs. They usually crush somebody. And AFC, they usually win that game, and then they're in the Super Bowl, and that's it.
The Patriots have been good. I mean, Belichick is a genius. Brady's great. They're a good football team. Even last night, Josh Gordon gets hurt, like I mentioned. They plug in dudes named Gunner.
Well, they were without Burkhead, too.
Then they're without Burkhead. And then Brandon Bolden scores. Yeah. Their 4th running back. They're plugging in these guys. Ryan Izzo. They're plugging in these guys. Jacoby Myers. And they're still looking almost like the guys that would start on that team. So they're definitely good. It's just when you also look at them, it's been 15 years of skating through the division, being able to get the number 1 seed, which allows you to have a bye week. Then you play at home. Then you play the worst of the teams left in the AFC. And it's always like the upstart Ravens or the Texans or Tebow. And so like you're almost automatically in the AFC championship. And that's why they're in the Super Bowl so dang much.
Well, they are good, and I wish that was
us. Gosh dang it all.
I wish that was us. I mean, if that was the Green Bay Packers, we'd be loving it every year. Hey, the Packers, for many years, skated through the division. There was nobody touching them. The Lions were terrible. The Bears were terrible. The Vikings would occasionally get them, but the Packers would, you know, we'd always crown them champions of the division. And what would happen? It wouldn't do the Packers any good because they'd eventually lose either a home playoff game on the road. Somehow they wouldn't get the best record or the conference championship game. So, I mean, the Rodgers-Favre era, there's many years where they would, God, they'd have a great regular season.
Yeah.
We're pumped for the postseason, and then Kaepernick runs all over them.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk some Badgers with Ben Wergel, 720. We'll talk some more Packers, 820 with Ryan Wood. Let's talk some Packers right now with Pete Doherty. He'll join us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from PackersNews.com and the Green Bay Press Gazette. I want to talk to Pete, really kind of go around the team and see where some of the issues are. Aaron Rodgers getting criticized for wanting to win this week, so we'll have to talk about that. And the offensive line looking good and maybe looking not so good at the same time. Pete Doherty will give us his insight coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins here on this Football Friday, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hand off to Jones. Nice cutback. Aaron Jones for the touchdown.
I think they're busy.
7 points off the takeaway by Jair Alexander.
That's good blocking up front. Billy Turner, the right guard, you're going to see him reach, and then the center and the hole that's provided by Aaron Jones. It's just then one-on-one on the safety. Good vision by Aaron Jones, but a nice hole. One of the few we've seen in recent.
Lambeau South and then call L.A. Coliseum Lambeau West because it was rocking there last year too. So I love to hear the Go Pack Go, and when we play away, it's – I mean, that's a crazy feeling. Like, you look up in the stands, you see all these Packer uniforms, and you start hearing a Go Pack Go, and you're away. It's like, wow. Like, so I appreciate the fans.
Aaron Jones, I wouldn't quite call the Dallas Stadium Lambeau South. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. I was there a couple of years ago. That what happens when you go to these road games, and I'm going to Kansas City in a couple of weeks, too. We go to these road games. I've been to Cleveland and Indy and Nashville and all these places. Boston. You go out the night before. And so it's a lot of people that are also traveling. Mm-hmm. And you see all these Packer fans, and you think, wow, this could be – and you start talking with your buddies. This could be like 20-80 Packer fans, 20%, and then you see more. And then you have a couple. And then you're like, I bet you it's going to be 50-50 tomorrow. And then you get in line to get into the stadium, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, we're on a road game. Yes, there's enough Packer fans to do a Go Pack Go chant that can be audible when your team's up 30 points, but I would pump the brakes, Aaron Jones, on calling it Lambeau South for sure.
Yeah, well, I also feel like when you go out on a weekend of a Packer game at Lambeau Field, the Packers got a game on a Sunday, you know, by Friday, like Viking fans will be trickling in if the Vikings are here or the Lions or the Bears fans. You're thinking, man, you go to the bars, you see all Viking and Bear fans. You know, the people who are from here, they're not going out. It's all the visitors who are at those bars. And you're thinking, oh, my God, we're going to be overwhelmed. The Bear fans are buying up all these tickets. And then you get into the ballpark, and it's like, oh, yeah, same yeah, thing.
Right. So, yes, Lambeau South, okay, maybe. It's fun to say, but no, don't be misinformed. There were much more Cowboy fans than there were Packer fans. We're going to bring in Pete Doherty. He was there covering the team. PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette as well. He's on Twitter at Pete Doherty. He had a big game, Aaron Jones, obviously, with the four touchdowns. The fan base culture has never changed, but Chuck, it's almost like the team culture has.
You know, the years you've covered the Packers, you've seen, you know, the new coaches come in and come out and cultures change and all that. You know, I heard Aaron Jones the other day talking about, you know, the culture has certainly changed here in the locker room. But you've seen that happen before, haven't you?
Yeah, for better and for worse.
Yeah.
You know, when Ray Rhodes came in, there was this huge sense of relief. You could tell from players and people on staff because Holmgren was just so intense. And when they lost two games in a row, man, that place turned into a morgue. I mean, everybody was walking on eggshells. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And when Rhodes came in, it was a looser atmosphere, but you know, worse, you know, and everybody was relieved and loved it, but it turned out he was running too much of a country club. And so it ended up being for the worse. You know, and then when Sherman came in, it tightened down again and things were better organized. And then McCarthy, there was a little more accountability for the quarterback. And this one, it's looser in ways, but it obviously hasn't hurt them that way. And it's looser in the sense that the players at least to me, he doesn't just not mind them showing, you know, that they're having fun. I think he actually encourages that on the field. It sure seems like it anyway.
You know, that's funny because Holmgren, the transition between Holmgren and Ray Rhodes. Holmgren came across as your uncle at these press conferences, the nice guy doing the TV commercials. It was Rhodes who was like the stone face up there, and, you know, there was no messing around. He came across as the hard ass, but it was the other way around, it seems.
It was that's exactly how it was.
Yeah.
It was the exact opposite of those public personas. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. It was that's exactly how it was in Holmgren, and he could be intimidating. I don't remember Favre saying, like, there'd be some times, especially early in his time as a starter, when, you know, if they had lost or he'd played a bad game, then he'd walk past Holmgren in the hallway and it'd be just those two and Holmgren wouldn't even look at him.
Jeez.
It's happened to me before here in this building, too, with my bosses. Yeah.
That's post-game Chuck and Winkler most every day.
That's nothing new.
Yeah, outside the studio, I don't even recognize this guy.
God.
Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. You look at the stat of new coaches coaching in this league this year. Outside of Matt LaFleur, they're 4-19-1. Everybody's pretty bad. Matt LaFleur is a first-year head coach, 4-1. And I think the rebound that they had was very telling, that they did lose a game to the Eagles. You could have won that game. It was at home. They go to Dallas then, dominate that performance for the most part. Defense obviously broke a little more than bended in the second half. Was there, as we're talking about culture change and stuff, how did you see Matt LaFleur respond to the loss? Did everything seem the same? Because we always say winning masks all the problems. But after a loss, I think the Packers did a good job of refocusing, going through that adversity, and making sure they went down to Dallas and got the win.
I mean, you know, if you look at all the teams that got new coaches, most of them were bad, and most of them are hurting that quarterback. So LaFleur walked into a good situation because at least he had a quarterback. Now, the quarterback hadn't played so well, and one of the reasons he got hired was they needed somebody to get him playing well again. So it's not a gimme that he comes in and does well. You know, we saw other coaches come in, you know, Rhodes came in and went 500. I think Sherman went 8-8 or 9-7 in his first year. McCarthy 8-8 with Favre. So it's not a gimme, but he did have that advantage, and he's taken full advantage of it and all those signings they had on defense. But he's, you're right. They did rebound really well. And, you know, Dallas probably isn't as good as everybody thought because those first three games were against bad teams. But it's still, they still have a lot of talent. And to go down there and play such a good game and play as well as the Packers did, yeah, I think it speaks really well to what, you know, LaFleur is doing, and it probably suggests that, you know, the players like him and listen to him.
Yeah, this is not taking any away from LaFleur, and, you know, he's still 4-1. But if you have talent on your roster and you're at least somewhat of a competent coach, you're going to get the job done. And I feel like, you know, some of these guys on defense, they've given him the ingredients on offense and defense, and now he's just got to do the right things with him. And he is, but they've given him some talent too.
Yeah, it's still players more than anything, unless you have just the exceptional coach, you know, the once a generation coach, something like that. Otherwise, yeah, it's still players are the most important thing. Now, you know, things fell apart in Dallas when Barry Switzer took over, so that's, you know, took a couple of years, but things went downhill there. So the coach does matter, but yeah, I agree completely. And, you know, I mean, it's early. We're only a third of the way through the season. But, I mean, right now, Gutekunst has to be just way ahead of the pack for being the executive of the year. Because, you know, he signed three free agents. It's pretty rare on defense. It's pretty rare to hit on all three of them. Because you can very easily go over three on those, you know. And it looks like he was pretty much right on the nose on all three of those guys, the Smiths and Adrian Amos.
The other big free agent, Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com, was Billy Turner. He's had times where he struggled. I think Elgton Jenkins has been the big addition, as we can all agree, onto the offensive line with the draft pick. Lucas Patrick fills in, raves about Rodgers this week. Can this Packers team win with a banged-up offensive line? Is this offensive line good enough to keep doing what they're doing in your eyes, Pete?
As is, yeah. I think they might be, you know, if Bakhtiari gets hurt, or Bulaga, who's playing really well, that could change things, especially Bakhtiari because the left tackle, but really both tackles, there's good outside rushers on both sides, you know, in this league. So I think that'd be because I just don't think they're strong at backup tackle. So that would change things. But with the one injury on the inside, I think they're still fine. That's my take anyway.
How good can Jair Alexander be? Yeah, I know he had a rough game against Cooper last Sunday, but how good can he be?
He did. I was talking with a scout last week, and I was just texting back and forth with him. I said, you know, I'm starting to think Alexander might be a top five corner in the league, and he shot back. He's definitely a top five corner in the league. Now, he did have that. He did have a rough game, but look, unless you know, the Deion Sanders kind of corners, you know, they are extremely rare where you can actually really shut down a real true shutdown corner. It almost never happens in this league. So these guys, even the really good ones, get beat. But Alexander's really talented. He plays hard. He tackles. He's highly, highly competitive. There's just a lot to like there.
I suppose we should ask a question about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what would a Packer conversation be without him? And Rodgers this week, he says, you know, stats don't matter as much as the winning. Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it. But then he gets criticized. I don't know how much criticism you've seen come your way about this, but Aaron Rodgers, now people are wondering if that's really true. I think that the Packers have set themselves up in an interesting way where, because you have the example with Philly, where Rodgers has to do everything, and then they lost. But if you've got a good defense, and if you've got a good running game, and we'll see what it's like when the other pieces come back, but if Rodgers has to be like your break in case of guy, I think this is going to be a pretty successful season here, Pete, for Green Bay.
Yeah, the better they run the ball, you know, the less he has to do, then it certainly makes his life easier. And as we saw in Dallas and Philly, I mean, he can still do it. You know, and I realize in the Philly game they didn't run the ball well, but Philly's really good, I think, and they've got a really good run defense. And it wasn't like the Packers were having any trouble moving the ball up and down the field and putting up points, you know, throwing the ball. So even though they didn't have balance, I didn't look at that game as a problem. And then in Dallas, they ran the ball so well. I mean, Aaron Jones was unbelievable in that. But, yeah, I think, you know, with the way I thought Rodgers, I know his passer rating was, what, like 85, which is, you know, that's kind of bad, actually, in today's NFL. But I thought he had an excellent, excellent game on Sunday. And if he's playing like that, not making mistakes and still making plays, they're going to be really tough to beat. I don't know if he can do that week in, week out, but if he can, I mean, when he plays like that, they are really hard to beat.
We're a couple days away yet from Packers-Lions. The NFC North has done something no division's done at this point in the season since 2012, where all the teams have a winning record. Bears have the bye. Vikings host the Eagles this weekend, and then Packers-Lions. From what you've seen with Detroit, what do we expect from them? I think that's the big mystery. I think we know Minnesota, we know where their problems are, where they're good. Same with the Bears going through the quarterback injury. Detroit still, Pete, they could still be a team that loses 10 of their next 12, or they could win 10 of their next 12. I don't know how to figure out the Lions at this point.
Yeah, and I agree completely. And I, you know, I don't know what to make of them. I was texting with a guy who used to coach in this division yesterday and asked him what he thought of them. And He said, I think they're riding a wave of confidence. And when the quarterback doesn't throw interceptions, he's a pretty talented guy. So they're winning. But you know, he didn't sound convinced that they're a really good team. You know how it is in this league. Every year there's a couple teams that end up being, you know, having a record quite a bit better than you would have guessed, and one or two that are quite a bit worse. And so maybe the Lions are just one of those. Maybe things are coming together, and maybe Patricia's a really good defensive coach. Or maybe they're just off to a decent start, and they played a really good game against Kansas City, so everybody thinks they're good, and actually they're not that much better than last year. I have no feel for him other than, you know, with Stafford, he's just got as much arm talent as anybody, but he tends to take too many risks, and if he minimizes those risks, you know, they get a lot tougher to beat.
Pete, we'll continue to follow you for the coverage, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. You do a great job. We will be in touch. Outlaw Pete joining us. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Pete Doherty on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. More on the Green Bay Packers, of course, today. Ryan Wood will join us at 8:20. Bill Michaels' show. They'll have Kevin Harlan on today. He'll be doing the call. Westwood 1, 11:05, Kevin Harlan on the Bill Michaels Show later today. When we come back, we've got to listen to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is a pretty good dude. He's good at football. It was a little weird yesterday, I thought, when he was talking to the media, trying to explain this injury. I don't think Devontae Adams enjoys the fact that he's hurt and can't do anything about it. We'll hear from Devontae, and you'll hear that too coming up in just a couple of minutes. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Sports Flash, right now.
Hey, good morning from the 105.7 FM, The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath, first on The Fan. The Packers host the Lions on Monday Night Football. Running back Jamal Williams returned to practice yesterday out of the concussion protocol. Devontae Adams uncertain for Monday night as he continues to deal with turf toe. Aaron Rodgers now on the injury report with a knee injury. He was limited in practice, while Darnell Savage, Robert Tonyan, and Tony Brown also missed practice on Thursday. No word yet on their status on Sunday. The Astros beat the Rays 6-1 in Game 5 of the ALDS. They advanced to the American League Championship Series, where they will take on the New York Yankees. Gerrit Cole picked up the win for Houston last night, struck out 10 while allowing just 2 hits in 8 innings. Game 1 of the NLCS coming up tonight at 7:08 in St. Louis as the Nationals take on the Cardinals. NFL last night, the Patriots remained unbeaten with a 35-14 win over the Giants on Thursday Night Football. New England's defense cashed in on 2 New York turnovers for touchdowns as Giants rookie quarterback Daniel Jones threw 3 interceptions in the loss. Tom Brady completed 31 of 41 passes for 334 yards, no touchdowns, throwing the ball, and an interception. College football last night, North Carolina State topped Syracuse 16-10. Eighth-ranked Badgers host Michigan State Saturday at Camp Randall. Kickoff for that one at 2:30. While the Bucks are back in preseason action tonight, they travel to Dallas to take on the Mavericks. Tip-off for that one is 7:30. Read more online at 1057fmthefan.com. The update brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Experts are predicting a brutal cold and flu season. The number one flu symptom is fever, so use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 70 clinical studies. We can't always predict the flu season, but we can always prepare for it with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere. Download the radio.com app. Favorite The Fan today. Is Devontae Adams going to be available on Monday Night Football against the Lions? We hear from the star wide receiver next on Chuck and Winkler.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are getting ready to host the Lions on Monday Night Football. Green Bay has 20 players on the injury report. Wide receiver Devontae Adams is still dealing with turf toe.
It is a major injury, so the issue is that people hear turf toe and think it's just a jam. Turf toe means that you strained, which means you tore something.
There's such a thing as coming back too early.
Yeah, 1,000%. You come back and you make it worse or have it linger throughout the season, so that's not what we're interested in doing here.
Packers running back Jamal Williams is back from a concussion that sent him to the hospital. Williams says he has no hard feelings for the Eagles' Derek Barnett, even though Barnett was fined $28,000 for his helmet-to-helmet shot. Was it intentional?
Not really bad intentions, just more of just, he's just playing in the game, you know what I mean? So, I mean, he could have not made the, you know what I mean, but it's just something on defense they teach about just urgency and just getting to the ball.
Coming off their bye, the Lions had only one player miss practice, former Packer defensive end Mike Daniels, with a nagging foot injury. Lions head coach Matt Patricia.
We got, pretty much everybody's going to go out and try to do what they can do today. So I think Mike Daniels is the only one that's out right now. We know we got a little bit of extra time here to progress as the week goes. So meetings are good. We're rolling. We're grinding. We know we got a huge challenge. They got a great team, great players, well coached. So be a big opportunity in front of us.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
I mean, I had no idea what it was. I just knew what it was, the pain, and obviously unable to, you know, push off of it and do anything at the moment, and which was almost scary at the time because you don't really know what the deal is, but I'm so used to getting to the sideline and being able to just, you know, go push through a little bit, throw some tape on something. Every time I've hurt my ankle, I continue to play that game, so for me to have to actually tell myself I couldn't finish that game, it sucked, and I didn't want to believe it. I kept trying to, you know, see if I could do something as we went along. That last drive, the drive before last, I couldn't, you know, I knew it was too fresh then. I was hoping maybe adrenaline to kick in. I could work through something, but it was tough.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries as Davante Adams.
Super tall.
Just one of the 20 guys on the injury report for your green and gold. Davante Adams, of course, with the turf toe that came up during the Eagles game. He did not participate. Tony Brown, cornerback, did not participate. Darnell Savage on the ankle did not participate. Bob Tonyan with the hip.
It's starting again.
Did not participate.
It's starting again.
We've got Jamal Williams on a concussion working his way back. We've got Tremon Williams with a back injury limited. We've got Za'Darius Smith. He was full participant, but he's on there with a knee. We've got Corey Linsley still going through the concussion protocol. We've got Aaron Rodgers, limited participation with the knee injury. Those just some of the 20 guys on the injury report for the Green Bay Packers.
It's just never ending. It's like this every year. And what do we always say? Hey, the Packers are as good as healthy they are. And here they are, you know, five games into the season, and he got 20 guys on the injury report. Now, some of that is probably just putting guys on the injury report if they have a little nagging injury. Not that it's going to keep them out of the game.
Well, like Jimmy Graham and Brian Bulaga, music from Platoon, by the way, is what you're hearing.
1987.
Jimmy Graham and Brian Bulaga both on the injury report for veteran rest. So, I mean, some of these I won't worry about too much. Rodgers is on there with the knee.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. Yeah,
I'm not worried about that one. Robert Tonyan in the hip. I mean, he left the game the other day. The concussion for Linsley. Jamal Williams working his way back from one. Kevin King is on there with knee/groin.
He's permanently on that list.
Knee/groin.
Yes, knee, groin. What is it this week with Kevin King?
Soon it's going to be Kevin King is on the injury report with below the waist everything.
Yeah.
And then next week it will say body.
Yeah. Just it's one thing or another with Kevin King.
And everybody else's name is written in pencil. His is in Sharpie. In
permanent, yeah. So I wouldn't worry about a couple of those guys. Now, Davante, I think somebody's going to look at Davante having a turf toe, and they're going to downplay it, and they're going to say, oh, geez, a turf toe. And I was one of these guys when he was sitting out of the end of the Eagles game a couple of weeks ago. I said, geez, Bart, man, I would like to see him in there toward the end with the turf toe, but only he really knows how much that thing hurts. And I get it. You know, you can't push off the toe and all that. But when you hear him talk at his locker yesterday and he says, hey, this is a major injury, and then you hear it's turf toe, immediately you want to snicker and say, really, it's a major injury? But considering what he's got to do and pushing off the toe and make cuts and run fast and get open, you could see where he would say it's a major injury, and I don't play him this week Monday. The only thing that's going to heal this guy is extended rest, if anything, and this is never going away. So I would say, again, since this is a Monday home game, not that you should take it for granted, don't play Davante. It doesn't sound like he's playing. I wouldn't bet the house, but I'd bet the garage that he's not playing.
Well, he was asked about that, and he was mistakenly asked first if he was playing Sunday, and then he's like, I'm playing Monday. Davante Adams, this is him at his locker yesterday, and as we talk about this, we'll try to figure out how much the Packers need him on Monday if any of these other receivers can step up. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. So the question is, Davante, are you playing on Sunday?
I guess the obvious question that everybody wants to know, are you going to play on Sunday?
No, I won't be playing Sunday, that's for sure. But Monday, I'm not sure just yet. It is a major injury, so it's something that we got to pay attention to and make sure we monitor in the correct way to make sure it's not something that gets re-aggravated later on the season or I come back a little too early and really mess the thing up. So we're just really trying to pace it at this point. I can't really tell you when I'm going to play. I don't know. It doesn't feel how I wanted to feel at the moment, but, you know, we definitely have time. So we'll just kind of play this thing, and I know Mr. LaFleur will definitely be able to take care of any other questions regarding that.
I'm sorry, Mr. LaFleur? He said Mr. LaFleur.
Yeah. Mr. LaFleur is not much older than Devontae. Yeah, about 15 years, I'd say, but still, maybe less than that.
I mean, Rodgers is already calling him Matt. Mr. LaFleur.
I think he called him MF one time. Matt LaFleur.
I think it was Rodgers I heard say that Matt LaFleur was getting annoyed with Aaron Jones because he always called him sir.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. LaFleur's like, don't call me sir. Well, I get it. Thank you.
When a player, like you with Counsell, some players call Craig Counsell Craig. It's just when the guy's the boss or the manager of a team or the coach, to hear him called by anything other than Coach LaFleur is just kind of odd. Like, Counsell, if they call him Craig, that's one thing. But, you know, when they call him Counts, you know, he's the manager of the team. Counts? No, that's just, you can't call your boss that. You could call a boss by your nickname, by his nickname. It's a little weird.
Counsey.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. Counsey would look at you strangely.
799-1250. You could tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. And I think part of the problem is, for us understanding this, turf toe. It sounds like, we probably should say his toe is ripped to shreds inside. Devontae Adams explains that turf toe is maybe worse than it sounds.
The issue is that people hear turf toe and think it's just a jam. Turf toe means that you strained, which means you tore something. So that's you can Google that. So that's not me giving you anything too spicy today. I know you guys just got real excited about that, but that's what turf toe means. It means that you strained or tore something. So there's ligament damage, like I said, and we just got to let that heal up. And I've made a lot of strides, and I definitely am able to move around a lot better than what I was. But we still got some healing to go.
I think there needs to be another name for turf toe, because turf toe doesn't sound as tough or as painful as it really is. Because when you say, "Oh, I'm out with a turf toe," it's like turf toe. That's the first thing you react to. You can't play with turf toe. But if you say the guy's got strained ligaments in his foot, then that's a little different story.
No, that's what turf toe is.
Yeah, but turf toe kind of...
It's not manly enough.
It's not manly enough. Yeah, it's not manly enough.
You know what? Concussion's not manly enough either. It should be...
Oh, no.
Broken brain.
No, concussion does sound bad.
But it could be worse.
When you hear concussion, you're like, oh, man.
It should be brain fire.
Yeah, then, you know, your brain's cracked.
Yeah, yeah. It should be much worse.
But turf toe, this sounds like turf toe. You're not going to play because of turf toe?
Turf toe.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Just after 7 o'clock, a long-withstanding beef that I have had with another member of our esteemed media has been squashed. It's over. I'm friends now with this guy.
Okay, because I know you've started war with like practically everybody
in
this town.
Yes, everybody is fighting me because I punched first, but I squashed one. And so we'll have the details on that coming up after 7. Someone who I could never fight with, our friend John in Franklin, 799-1250. What's up, Johnny?
Hi, John.
Hey, morning, boys. I'm no doctor, but from what I'm hearing here, Devontae needs to sit. We need Devontae as healthy as possible. We need Devontae Adams on the field doing Devontae things. And if we're going to stick him out there to try to beat the Lions, and we're going to damage him potentially for playoff games later in the year, that can't happen. So we're as much as we all want to see him on the field, and it's time these other receivers step the hell up. You know, we've neglected the offense because of the piss-poor defense on this team. We passed on so many receivers. DK Metcalf was a guy I really, really, really wanted to see them get. Guys like this. We settled for the Moore kid, fourth rounder, not even in the NFL.
Jamon Moore.
Jamon, yeah.
Yeah, nobody picked him up, did they?
You know,
he's still on waivers, I think, or on somebody's practice squad, maybe. But, yeah, he was the guy that people thought was going to for sure make it in this team.
Yeah, but we put up.
He's a free agent, yeah.
A fourth round, a sixth round, and a seventh round, and we thought we solved our future receiver of the future problems, and we have not. It's time to cough up a draft pick, and it's time to go get somebody competent to be the number two on this team, because we do not have it right now.
How about Jordy?
Well, I think what – you know,
I'll take the silence as a no.
I think John and Bart, when they drafted three wide receivers in the draft, when Gutekunst went that route, I think he was just hoping, okay, I'll draft three – hoping a couple will hit, or at least one of them.
That's what they did. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Devontae Mays.
And they've done that with defensive backs, too.
And you've got two of them that stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done that with defensive backs in the past, too.
Well, St. Brown got hurt.
What's that?
St. Brown hurt. Valdez Scantling. Scantling, I think he's got potential, but it seems like they're only using him as this deep guy. Every time that anyone's ever asked, hey, what do you think about MVS? 4-3 speed, 4-3 speed. And they're really only using him on those fly routes either to have a catch or draw a pass interference. And, John, thanks for the call. 414-799-1250. You could tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You know who they need to step up is Geronimo Allison.
Well, I think we're realizing Allison is what he is. He's not going to go out there and make a ton of plays for you. He's going to make a couple of catches. He's not very elusive, not very fast. For God's sakes, don't run him on a jet sweep because it's not going to get you anywhere like they do. But, you know, and an MVS, he is not very elusive. He's fast. Just because you're fast and you're straightaway speed doesn't mean you can dodge tacklers and have your shifty hips. And that's what he doesn't have.
You know, as we look at this Lions-Packers game.
Never thought we'd talk about shifty hips this morning.
No, I did. That's why I got into the business.
Okay.
As we look at this game, the Lions and the Packers, I think what I'm trying to look at is where do the Lions shut down the Packers? If I'm the Lions, where do I try to shut down Green Bay? And I'm going to try to take away Aaron Jones. I mean, he had 4 touchdowns the other day. And in a game where you didn't have your number one receiver, he was your leading receiver with the 7 catches. I'm going to try to take him away. I'm going to try to make Aaron Rodgers throw it to guys like Geronimo Allison and Valdez Scantling.
Well, the Lions got a very good secondary.
Yeah.
They have Darius Slay. So if Devontae was healthy, you would think Slay would be on Davante Adams, okay? But now, okay, with Devontae out there, Slay covers who? The next receiver in line.
I'm going to take away the check down options and make Rodgers throw to his perimeter receivers, because if I'm the Lions, I look at Valdez Scantling, I look at Allison and say, hey, these guys might have talent, but where have they been? If the Packers are going to beat us, they're going to have to beat us with those guys I'm Detroit.
Well, this is why I think it's going to be – that's why this line is only 4.5. I think people look at that and they say, this is a tough matchup for Green Bay. If they don't have Devontae in there, what receivers are going to make plays against that talented Lions secondary? That could be a problem. Now, with the Lions only rushing 3, all right, Aaron's going to have some time back there. It might be, you know, he might be able to run the ball a little bit more too, which is good and bad. But you know, who's going to be making the plays in the wide receiver core? Devontae's there, and Aaron isn't running the ball like he did the other day.
This maybe isn't as much of a shoe-in victory as you might have thought a couple of days ago. It is a Monday night game, of course. We'll continue to preview it today. Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold Insider, 8:20 this morning. As far as this game and maybe this league this weekend, a lot of interesting games. We talked about a bunch of those on the Bill Michaels Huddle last night. We were out at Moe's Irish Pub in Wauwatosa. I want to just highlight how bad some of the football games are this weekend and how good now a bad relationship was with me and another member of the media. Barty's been complaining about something for 3 years.
Yeah.
And it was finally addressed last night.
We'll have to set it up, as we say.
Oh, we'll definitely.
We'll tee it up and give some background on that.
Right now, this is the lob. And then when we come back, it'll go through the air, and then we'll knock it out of the park.
Okay.
We'll do that coming up next. It's Chuck and Winkler, plus Badgers with Ben Wergel at 7:20, as they've got Michigan State this weekend. All straight ahead, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.